In the play Hamlet by William Shakespeare, our main character Hamlet is visited by the ghost of his father in the first act. His father has just recently been killed by Cornelius and wants vengeance, so he's encouraging Hamlet to take vengeance on him and avenge his death. Hamlet's a little cautious at the beginning. He wants to make sure that these words are true. You know, it's a ghost, that's kind of weird. Nevertheless, he has this ruse. He's going to stage a play that reenacts everything that happened causing his father's death. And maybe, through this, Cornelius will confess that he killed his father. So they stage this play, and Cornelius is clearly the one who killed his father, so he now can take his vengeance. Just a few scenes later, Hamlet finds Cornelius at prayer. What a perfect opportunity. He's alone, no one's around, he's defenseless, he could kill him. But then he thinks to himself, as things start to move, if I kill him now, he'll go to heaven. What kind of vengeance is that? Vengeance is best served ice cold. So he waits. Few scenes later, he hears some voices from his mother's room, a man's voice. Thinking that it's Cornelius, he goes and stabs him through the curtain, killing him, but it ends up being Polonius and not Cornelius. Polonius is the father of his girlfriend, Ophelia, who is so distraught by what had happened, she goes and jumps in a river and dies. Polonius's son, the phonetic's gone, Laertes, there we go, Laertes, is also upset and now wants vengeance against Hamlet for the death of his father, Polonius. So Cornelius wants Hamlet dead for knowing that he killed Hamlet's father. Laertes wants Hamlet dead for killing his father, and this whole thing erupts. The very final act of the play, they make this big ruse where Cornelius puts poison on Laertes' sword and Laertes challenges Hamlet to a duel. The same way, just to ensure Hamlet's death, Cornelius poisons his wine so that when he drinks from the goblet, he would die. Hamlet, so confused by everything that's going on, doesn't drink from the goblet, and Gertrude dies instead. As they do this massive duel between Laertes and Hamlet, Hamlet strikes at Laertes several times, killing him, and the final act before Laertes dies, he stabs Hamlet, who dies. So by the end of the play, everyone's dead. However much we may like to laugh at this or maybe think of it sad or strange, the reality is in so many different books, movies, and sources of media, this is the outcome. We reflect a lot on vengeance and unforgiveness in many of our sources of media. It's a common theme because we like to see it played in someone else's life. We like to see the outcomes, knowing what they look like, without them affecting us. The reality is things like this, even though it's a fictitious play, it still points at a central reality. Unforgiveness and vengeance, as the book of Sirach tells us, always leads to death and destruction. On one level, it's the literal death. When you take vengeance, someone dies. But on the same level, interiorly, each of us experiences the same effects that these plays give out in their dialogue, that we have to deal with that on an interior level. It changes us. It morphs us. By choosing vengeance, by choosing unforgiveness, it continually wraps around our mind, diving us deeper and deeper into the darkness, literally transforming us into monsters, with our goal being the end of that person, our goal being retribution, our goal being justice, our goal being death in the end. This is the challenge we all face. And yet, Jesus gives us a way out, a way we don't often see or we don't want, which is forgiveness. Forgiveness is tough. It's really challenging. It looks weak because we're just letting things go or blah, blah, blah. That's not true. Forgiveness is essential to our lives because forgiveness gets us out of that vicious loop so that we can be free. The real challenge is that when we're wrapped up in vengeance and unforgiveness, we're not free. We're stuck in the cycles. We're allowing ourselves to be so wrapped up in it, we can't see rightly. We can't see the world. We can't be in a place of peace. It's always anger and violence. So Jesus' words gets us out of that we can live at peace. We can live with each other. We can be in a place where we don't have to be at odds. We can be free. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that our joy? Look at the world around us. How often do we see forgiveness? Like never. Where does that lead us in our world? To destruction. That's why things are so bad today. On one level, we can literally live in this world wrapped up in pain and never see the person we're upset with ever again. Therefore, there's no outcome. There's no way out of it besides forgiveness. Or we can so get wrapped up, especially in small communities, with all the pains and ills of the past, that we just live in this kind of cesspool of pain instead of working towards healing and forgiveness. This is our challenge. The world needs us. The world needs two Christians to stand up and say, no, I believe in the message of Christ. I believe in the pain it causes to look for forgiveness and the immense challenge, which is no better pictured than the cross. Jesus died on the cross to show us what the ends of forgiveness look like. If we're really willing to truly forgive, it could be the death of us just for the sake of healing. Now, most of us won't have to go that route. There's simpler paths. On one level, Jesus' words strike true. How often must I forgive my brother? 7 times? No, 77 times. It's a constant action we have to have. If we wake up each and every day with the thought of vengeance on our minds, or wanting justice for things that can't be healed, or wanting to have someone be forgiven without us forgiving them, then we make the choice each and every day to say, I forgive you. Doesn't matter if they want it or not. We need it. So we may have to make it every day. We may have to ask for forgiveness every hour. We may have to say in our minds over and over again, endlessly, I forgive you, just so we experience the healing. Not necessarily them. Because once we allow that kind of healing into our lives, we allow ourselves to act as an agent of forgiveness, then when we meet those people, we're much more willing to forgive and truly forgive, not just brush it away or think it's fine and still wrap ourselves up in that anger, but truly let it go so we can be in good relationship again. This is our goal. Our goal as agents of Christ, as people who've come to know him, is to allow ourselves to be free, free from that pain, free from the anxieties of vengeance and death, free from the worries of unforgiveness, to allow ourselves to truly understand God's forgiveness, to extend it to the people we meet, and allow ourselves to live in that freedom that we can truly be people of forgiveness, people who are free, free to truly forgive.